Bill, you were talking about a free alternative for virus control. What do you recommend here?
I recommend a program called Avira.
Avira.
Avira, along with another program called CCleaner.com. Those two things by themselves, both free, by the way, help you tremendously protect yourself and your privacy. I mean, everywhere you go, you're being tracked. On every website you go to, you can download. For example, when you go to a website, when you visit a website, there's things that get downloaded to your website and track everywhere you go. They're called cookies. And it's not something you eat. It's a cookie.
You can't get a calorie from this one, can you?
Yeah, you can't get a calorie, but what you can get is a big hack job and, yeah. And people following you around everywhere you go. And so what you do is, for example, if there's content that shouldn't be on your computer or if your computer is running slow, you use these two programs, and one with the CCleaner.com. You run it, and you'll be amazed of the things that are removed off your computer.
Really?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, you know, megabytes of just, I mean, or thousands of megabytes of just files and images and things that you would never know even exist then.
And how, would you spell those two sites for me?
Yes. One, number one is... it's called Avira, A-V-I-R-A.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Actually, it's free-av.com. That's it.
Okay.
And then you have C, the most important one, CCleaner.com.
CCleaner.com. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're both free. They're both free. And what we're doing, too, is we're developing tools as well so they run in real time that actually really do these things. Because with CCleaner, you have to actually run it manually.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes. But it works.
I sometimes like that control, though, to be able to do that when you want to.
You need to be able to,
You're a reform spammer. Give us
Absolutely. Give
us some cases of things that you've done and, you know, why you did it and how it worked for you and then what happened.
Okay, well, the only really one thing you could say that I've ever done that, or anybody could say that I've done that's considered spam in any way, would be one thing, and it's in my book, 888freedom.com, and it's all in my book, and I tell all the stories about things that have happened to me. But this one particular story, I'm glad you asked that, because this is a true spam job, okay? And I did it because this person was a child molester, and I knew he was a child molester. Because I had worked with the fella, and I opened up a CD store back when I was about, I don't know, 20 years old, and he wanted me to put my name on the CD store instead of himself. And when I was gone, I would find out that he was bringing 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 12-year-old kids up to the store all the time, younger than that.
Oh,
things are very odd going on. And to make a long story short, when it came down to going to court and finding these things out, came out he wasn't even who he said he was, and yada, yada, yada. The guy was an absolute...
And you believed him, you hired him, right?
No, he hired me.
He hired you, okay.
But then wanted me to be a front for his CD store.
Ah, okay.
Okay. So this guy was stalking me, and I, at the time, did not believe in calling the police. And this is right when I got into email marketing, okay? But I know how to do these tricks, too, but I don't do them because I don't believe in stealing. I don't believe in stealing from people or hurting people. But this one guy was the exception to the rule because he was a child molester. And as all of this story, I mean, there's so many obvious things that were there. And my book talks all about it, and it's a pretty in-depth story. So I'll just sum it up. I noticed these things, so I immediately closed the store. And locked the doors. So he had the locks changed on me somehow. So I super glued the locks, okay, to keep this guy out. Because, I mean, I don't want my name attached to a child molester. I mean, you wouldn't either, right?
That's not very wise.
So this guy, he kept on just stalking me. He had parked his van way at the end of the street of my house where I used to live at in Ohio where I'm from. And this guy just seemed to just not get the message. Follow me around. I mean, all this weird stuff went on. Okay.
What did he want with you?
He wanted to kill me.
All right.
Okay, I'm guessing that's what he wanted
to do. Or hurt you.
Or something. I don't know. I don't, I really would, I'm glad I didn't find out. But I know he was mad at me, let's put it that way, because I had found out these things, and there's three other of my friends that found out too. And so it wasn't just me. It was coming from all sources, people that I knew. And so what I did is the only true spam that I ever did ever in my life was this. What I did is I took this guy's name, which wasn't his real name anyway, and this is in the very early my career in email marketing. I mean, we're talking like a year into the business. And I used what it is. I put his the alias he went by, and I put on his name, phone number, his address, where he could be contacted at, his websites, the whole nine yards, and said, "Hey, I am so and so, and I am looking for so and these types of people to do nasty things with." Okay, just put make it very easy and plain. Okay, because I wanted this guy to get a message to leave me alone. Because I didn't believe in calling the cops. I was stupid. I should have listened and just called the police on this guy. But so what I did is I sent out 400,000 emails.
400,000?
Yes.
To who? Everybody?
Well, just the bad guys. Just the guys I knew that would be mad.
You knew 400,000 bad guys?
Well, I didn't know them personally. No, it was just a removed list. People that asked to be removed in the past. And there was 400,000 of them. Yeah. 400,000 people. And so I put his number on there, his pager number, his cell phone number, everything about this guy. And this guy, what he did is I call in the chapter of the book, Confessions of a Spam King, it's called The Destruction of a Child Molester. He ended up taking me to court and all these different things. I won. I definitely won because I didn't do what he tried to accuse me of. And I had great lawyers at the time. But I felt it was a worthy cause. I said, "Hey, you know, this guy's a child molester. He's out there trying to hurt people, and I just can't stand by.
You know, and let him do this.
And let him do this." Right, exactly. And so I sent out 400,000 emails. And so I moved to Las Vegas. I moved to Las Vegas, and this is like 3 years after this happened. And I called up his voicemail from some anonymous number to see this, to see if he was there. And he still, 3 years later, had on there, "If you got this email about me being blah, 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 blah."
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I destroyed his business and I tried to do my part. But, you know, it was a worthy cause, but I learned my lesson. You know, I learned
What was the lesson you learned?
The lesson is that, you know, I should have just done things the right way and just called the police and done what
I mean, was there any backlash on you because
of
this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He took me to court for telephone harassment. And I won.
Whatever happened to him?
I have no idea where he is now. No clue whatsoever.
How do people, Bill, protect themselves from spam?
Well, that's a pretty hard one. But I'll tell you, there is ways. There absolutely is definite ways to do it. We're developing software right now that really does protect people from spam. Because right now, everybody listening right now is a spammer. Everybody, including you.
They may not know it, but they are.
Yes, because these companies, you ever seen a spam folder before?
No.
Okay. Well, if you go to any of these, like Yahoo's or AOL's, there's always a spam box right there. And I was doing a little teeny radio show, and I had a guy that wanted to send me a children's book to be interviewed on the air. It's a little small radio station. And it went to my spam folder. Now, this guy's not a spammer. This guy's not, he's not a bad guy. He's not broken any laws. Because remember, there's a law called the Can-Spam Act of 2003 that defines what a spammer is. And the penalties are severe. We're talking like $16,000 per offense plus criminal penalties. So every time you see things, like for example, if you subscribe to a newsletter and you wonder why you don't get that newsletter, it's because these companies – for example, spamhouse.org, that company, they decide for AOL, they decide through extortion, through whatever they do, they decide for Google, they decide for all the major, like Cox.net, you name the company. They decide through blackmail and extortion who is a spammer and who is not a spammer. There's no trial, there's no nothing. The government doesn't get involved at all.
They just decide.
They just decide. And I guarantee you, George, one day in your lifetime of when you've been on the internet, your message has went to a spam folder. I guarantee it.
Well, you know, my coast-to-coast emails, half of the emails I get on any given day end up in some spam file, and I have found some really good emails from solid listeners that have been tossed in there, and I don't know how they got in there. So I go in there, and thank God I read these things. Some of them are, you know, desperate emails or good story ideas, mm-hmm. but they're tossed in with a lot of the junk.
And this is the reason why, is because the companies, the powers that be, the big boys like Google and whoever, but Spam House is the big brother. Spam House is big brother. They tell these companies what to do. And I want to know why. That's my question I've had for such a long time.
And who's behind this company? That's what I'd like to know.
A man by the name of Steve Linford. Just one guy and his cronies here in the United States. He has volunteers.
Megabucks?
What's that? Megabucks?
Megabucks here?
No. He has a lot of money. But somehow they got started years ago. I don't know how they got started, because they found me somehow, and they posted things. They're incredible. They're totally incredible, because for example, on that site, they post things and they laugh about it. They laugh about my dead grandfather, for example.
They laugh about your dead grandfather?
My dead grandfather.
Who would laugh about your dead grandfather? What's so funny about that?
Yeah, exactly. Who would laugh about that?
That's
and who
sick.
Would laugh about your kids? And who would laugh about hacking your computer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, these guys do.
So they want you to back off.
Yes. They are scared to death that I'm even saying this to you right now. And they want me to back off. But the thing is I want to know, is that why would a company like America Online, how dare a company like America Online even let a foreign company out of the United Kingdom dictate to them what they can put in the email folders or not?
Why do they do that? Is it because it's easy for them or what?
Extortion, and it's easy for them, and they do not want competition. It's like,
now tell me, Bill, though, where's all this headed? All this information, all these companies, all this data. Where's it all headed?
The data or the solution? Which one are you referring to?
All the information. Where's it all headed? Where's it going?
Into the hands of people you do not want them. People to have. It's going into the terabytes of servers, you know, thousands and thousands of servers out there. It's going to them. It's going to the big boys like Google. Google Earth. Google Maps. I mean, look at national security. Let's think about national security. If a terrorist right now wanted to find out where to blow up something, all you have to do is just go to Google Maps and find out an address of, say, a whatever it is, and use Google Earth to get the directions, find it, walk down the street, and drive down the street, get total directions. And you can look from the back, look from the front, all of this right there. It's right there. It's a national security threat, too. Now, where is it headed? Well, it's headed there. It's headed to these companies, their database.
And this is the same, not just here. It's all over the place, isn't it?
Oh, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Yeah, you could Google Earth anything and get directions everywhere in Sweden and everywhere. There's been companies, countries, at least 25, that have totally banned Google. And Google's upset about it. Well, they're saying to Google, and it's especially in Europe, they're saying, well, we don't want our citizens' privacy to be taken from them.
See, and we think they've been banned because there's some kind of censorship going on. That's not the case, is it?
It's not the case whatsoever. It's not the case at all. It's that every email, everything that you do, every search, everybody has an IP address. What's an IP address? Well, an IP address is like a phone number, like 1.2.3.4.5.6. Everybody's got one. So when you log on to that, you're identified. You have things on your computer that identify you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're tracked everywhere you go, and they are storing this information. God knows why, other than the fact that they can use it to make tons and tons of money by selling your information, or just simply just putting up their ads, or who knows what the reason is.
When the president uses his BlackBerry, what happens to his information? I mean, do they have it so secure that it can't be found?
I seriously doubt it. Let's put it like this. I'm not going to tell people how to do this, I'm going to tell people what I know to be 100% true, and I'll give them, if I wanted to steal me personally, and I'm not a hacker, I don't know how to do it, I don't even know how to program. I just know programmers, and I know how to talk to them, and I know what they, you know, what's going on, and I get a lot of inside information from people all over the world about these things, and if somebody wanted to steal your identity right now off of Facebook or Twitter or MySpace or whatever, they could do it within about, give them about 25 seconds.
Well, Bill, there are a couple George Norris on Facebook. It's not me. I don't post on Facebook.
Right.
You know, there's some fan clubs that are doing their thing. But, I mean, in terms of just me, I'm not on it. But somebody's out there, and we send letters, and one pops off, but another pops on, and it's like an endless stream.
It is. It happens to me too, George. There are people out there right now listening, I'm sure they're listening, that they have done the same exact thing to me, probably not to nearly the magnitude of you, but I mean, it's insane. It is insane what these hackers do with this information.
Oh, I was in St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and someone came up to me at a restaurant and said, "Hey, I'm your friend on Facebook." And I went, "I'm not on Facebook." And I mean, their face just dropped. The jaw just dropped. And I said, "That's not me." They said, "Well, yeah, it is. Your picture's up there." I said, "It's not me." So they go and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that illegal? Can I sue them?
Absolutely.
How do you find them?
Well, you sue Facebook.
Ah.
Yeah, like everybody else is getting in line ready to do.
That's interesting.
This is the way I look at things. If you really.
But how does poor old Facebook know? They thought it was me.
Oh, well, you know what? They do know. They know. Mark Zuckerberg comes out and tells everybody, you know, he's quoted everywhere. He's his own worst enemy. Mark Zuckerberg, here's how Facebook started. You want to know how Facebook started?
Yeah. 30 seconds before the break. Go ahead.
Thanks. Okay. Facebook started like this. Mark Zuckerberg was in Harvard. Okay. He was mad at his girlfriend. I mean, a girl that he was on a date with. And what happened was the girl stood him up. So what he did is he morphed her picture all over the place, and all the colleges have a thing called the book. And he put her picture with her all morphed up and posted to all of his friends.
And that's how it's and had the idea after that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls with you next when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, with Bill Wagoner, Confessions of a Spam King. And, of course, you know, we have our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com, and we have our own Coast to Coast Facebook account there, too. So that is legitimate, and Lex handles that for us. We'll be back with your questions on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take some calls this half hour with Bill Wagoner. And, Bill, remind me to talk with you about Google Earth as well and tell me how much of an invasion that is. Jane in Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jane. Go ahead.
Hi. Listen, I have a couple of children, and I just wanted to ask Mr. Wagoner.
One of the hackers, please.
Hello?
Yeah, she's a hacker. Prank caller.
Who's a hacker?
This Jane calling in right now. Hacker.
How do you know that?
She calls me every day.
Jane, is this you, the hacker?
I'm not a hacker.
Oh, yeah, you are, Jane. Don't lie to George Norrie. He's the... Come on.
Can you not answer the question? How do I protect my kids on Facebook?
Jane, I don't want to talk to you.
She asked a legitimate question, though.
Yeah, I'll answer her question. Yeah, but not to her, though. Sorry, man. She is a very bad hacker.
Are you sure?
I am dead serious that you can't miss that voice at all. At all. I can show you YouTube videos to prove that one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Swear. I'm lying. Kids' lives. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely, you can get. Yeah, absolutely. You can prove you can get yourself off Twitter and these things and do a thing to protect yourself. I'll tell you what, it's very easy. Instead of using, say something like Facebook, why not just go to GoDaddy.com or something like that, or any other domain name, and put your name in there. Get your own domain name, like say, BillWagonerLasVegas.com, and have it set up to where you could just, everybody has their own domain name, and they can put up whatever they want to, and have a company, I don't know who the company would be, but step up to the plate and just make it more like a Yellow Pages, and people could put up what they want, and they could own their own content. Because see what happens, George, is that every time somebody, anytime someone gets on Facebook and types anything, Facebook owns that. Every time you upload a photo, they own that. It's in their terms of service. Read it for yourself. It's there. Their TOS, their terms of service, every time you type anything on Facebook, it is their property. And they'll tell you it right there and there. They will admit it. They don't care. They just come out and say it.
Now, she asked a good question. Tell me, why did you freak out so much with her?
She calls me every day.
You mean at wherever you are?
Yep, hacks my cell phone, tries to get on. Oh, yeah, oh, everywhere. Oh, yeah.
I mean, is she nice to you, or she drives you crazy?
Oh, no, she drives me crazy. I would not have reacted that way.
So you know her voice, you're saying?
Absolutely. I could tell you their website, but I won't do it over the air because it would give them too much credence.
Interesting.
I'm working on them right now. You know what we do? What I do, I have programmers that work for me. And what we do...
Here's my question. Why would she ask you a nice, legitimate question? I mean, what's her
very,
motive?
She is probably one of the most nicest people with, I mean, speaking voices you could ever imagine. But then next thing you know, bam, it's on with this woman. I mean, it's insane. She's the one that started this site called BillWagoner.com. And this woman here, you can hear her voice all over it, talking about me and other people. So it's so obvious. I heard that name just and that voice. It took me just not even a second to recognize it. I'm sorry.
Well, let's go to Greg in Petaluma, California. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Doing very good. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Now, Bill, is he a hacker, too?
No. I can tell that voice out of the way. He's 15 miles away. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Greg.
A hack, but not a hacker. Illuminati, I think that sums everything up these days, doesn't it? The reason I'm calling is just my experience with the website Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
Craigslist, years ago, used to be this wonderful classified site where anyone could go to, and it brought a community close together, and you could buy and sell and meet people, et cetera. And it was almost miraculous. It was almost, I can't even just say it. I mean, it's just was a wonderful public. But over time, Craig Newmark and, you know, others who run it had to gate it more and more and more. And it's become overrun with spam. And I'm just wondering, why did it go so beautiful?
It went south, didn't it?
Yeah.
Any time that somebody can find a loophole in something like that, they're going to exploit it to the max. That's how it works, really. So what Facebook had to do is put up CAPTCHAs. That's called a CAPTCHA. And what it is like, you know, when you see those, like, weird words and weird, type in this weird code before you can even post something, that's what it is. And they've had to go to those extremes. So where people, what they do is put these hacker types, they write these scripts. And what they do is just sit there and post and post and post and post over and over again. And so, yeah, I don't, you know, Facebook just, I mean, not Facebook, Craigslist just was an easy target for these people. People can look on the internet right now and just find an easy one, a program that probably does not work. They can buy for like $20 and just spam the heck out of Craigslist, which is the most bogus, inflammatory, just, no, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it can be a great service.
But what Absolutely. Are the spammers truly after? Information, or they're trying to sell you something? What do they want?
Either steal all your money, steal from you, steal your identity. They want your money.
Somehow, some way.
Yep, exactly. Any way they can get it.
You mean I'm not going to get this 25 mil from Nigeria?
You're never going to get it. No, you're not.
And what's the scam there, by the way? I mean, it starts off, hi, you know, I'm so-and-so, king of this area, and, you know, I have $25 million in my bank account. I need you to take it for me. But then what happens? If you email them back, what happens?
What happens, first of all, is that they know that you exist. So what they do is they send out all of these emails. Millions and zillions and zillions and zillions of emails.
So even if you send them an email, buzz off. They got you then, right?
They got you to a point, right. Now, if you go ahead, they know that email exists. So, because you replied to it, right? So
right.
They put in a list there. So they know you're going to reply to it. It's reply. So then they're going to send you anything else they possibly can. For example, there's companies out there. In my book, I talk extensively about these types of topics. And is companies that call themselves affiliate marketing companies. Okay. And what they do is they're like a middleman company where you go, people on the internet want to make money. I mean, this is affecting our economy too, as well. I mean, our economy is being shattered by a lot of different things, but especially on the internet, because the internet is a new economy. It's going to be, you know, all the new ideas, everything, but it's being censored and it's being attacked everywhere it can. Any which way it can be. But anyhow, the point is that they want your money and they're going to take it any which way they can. And, you know, they're getting even more clever about this. I mean, back to affiliate marketing. So let's say a guy sends you a Nigerian scam. Okay. Always starts off in the United States. There's somebody in the United States doing it. It's
right.
Not somebody from Nigeria.
There's a lawyer somewhere, right?
Yes. It's somebody. Yeah. It's some guy here in the United States doing it. And what we're good at doing is what's good at doing is tracking these people down and finding out exactly where they are located. So if I had the FTC or whoever behind me, I could go and if I had the funds to do it, I could find out where these guys are and personally guarantee that these people would be in prison before you could count the
Do these people
100.
Actually get people to send them money, Bill?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. With two different ways.
My God.
Two different ways. One, either somebody falls for that scam, or they get those emails validated, right?
Yeah.
And then they start sending you all these different offers from these affiliate marketing companies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, like get your free Xbox, get your whatever. And they get paid that way as well.
Okay.
And so what I do in my book is I go through all of these companies that participate in these types of things, and I expose every one of them one by one.
Now, if you're doing a legitimate product, okay,
mm-hmm.
let's say you make you make a widget and you want to sell it to the masses, can you send out a blanket email to the world, or is that illegal now?
No, that's 100% legal. That's the thing. That's what the Can Spam Act was all about, is that if you just follow their guidelines, which is very simple, provide an address, okay, where people can write you mail or hate mail or love mail or whatever, and have a way to opt out of the list, an actual working link you click to get off the list.
I see.
And an actual from address that is really legitimate. And there's nothing deceptive in it. Like, say, the subject line says, "Hey, Joe." And then you open it up and it's all this pornography or whatever. That would be spam because they're lying to you. But if you say what the product is, let's say, "I have this widget here.
And I want you to buy it, and I sell them online. This is what it does."
Mm-hmm.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can send out a zillion million emails, right? But
does it work? Do people buy things that way?
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely, they do. But the thing is that these big corporations do not want you to make money that way. They don't want you to make money. They want to keep the money for themselves. That's why you have all these keywords and banner ads and whatever these people buy from these big corporations like Google and AOL. They don't accept your email for that reason, too, because they want to keep their money.
Interesting. All right,
yeah.
let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, John, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Oh, just fine, sir. I had a quick question for you. Is there any type of any spyware, any malware that actually works?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. Yes, there definitely is. Absolutely.
And malware bites is good too, right?
It's decent. I would say the best thing to do would be to use the program I said earlier, ccleaner.com. And you know what? Actually, when people go and they order the book or whatever they do, we send them those links as well, and we tell them where to get all these things, and it's very simple.
I have had in the past like a program show up, and it said, you know, get this new robot driver cleaner or whatever.
Right.
And so you go on, you hit a button, and all of a sudden it scans your computer, and it says you've got 42 problems, and then you say to clean it, hit this button. So you hit the button, and all of a sudden, this price thing comes up, and they want your credit card.
That's scam. They hacked Microsoft.
That's scam.
Yes. They hacked Microsoft about 8 months ago. They hacked a thing called Microsoft Defender, which is supposed to take care of all the malware and these things. And it started off through Microsoft updates. You know how when you have Windows XP or whatever it is, okay, you download the updates. Somehow these hackers got in there, and they were able to, when you did the update on your computer to fix whatever bugs were there, this thing came along with it. Now, it wasn't Microsoft's fault, but it was sure their problem. So they fixed it, and the thing is, as soon as you hit run on any of those things, you are immediately infected, and it's going to be almost impossible to get rid of that one. That one is probably the most malicious one to be spoken of, really.
I think maybe it's time to go back to the old 42-cent stamp and not pay bills online anymore.
I would never pay bills online.
Plus, they hit you up for a huge fee anyway, you know, $5, $9, when you can just put a stamp.
Yeah, you know, with doing taxes, you know, that's one of the things, too. It's like, you know, you do taxes online. Why would you want to do that? It's because you never know who's watching you. You never know what keystrokes are being recorded.
Good point.
You just don't know.
Fremont, California, first-time caller. Jason, go ahead.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Good, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, I just stumbled across the website a couple of weeks ago that I thought was really relevant to what you're talking about. I don't know if I should give it off over the air or not.
No, we won't let you do that, but go ahead.
Okay, that's fine. But I was just telling Tom, I was having him check it out, and it allows you to go in there and put anyone's name, their email, phone, or even friends of theirs, and it searches through thousands of different social networking sites or whatever and just pulls up any information they can. And while I was waiting to come on, I had my wife do it, and we were able to find out pictures from her of her, and also more than that, it allows you to find out their address, allows you to find out their phone number, their relationship status, anything you want to know about that person. And if you pay for it, which I don't obviously, it even tells you credit report, their mortgage, their income, what their interests are.
Where do they get all this information?
I have no idea.
They like a private investigating firm. I think he's talking about hiring. There's companies on the internet that are like private investigation firms, and somehow they get that information. Like the story I told you about with the hospital. I mean, this is accessible information. Anything that you post on the web, anything, is accessible.
Is accessible.
Is accessible.
You can get it.
That's correct.
Well, that's why they're going to go to this Google Face recognition now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know
exactly.
What?
Mm-hmm. And also, too, do people really want to freak out? I'll give you something right now. Just go to Google, type in whatever name, if you belong to Facebook, and type in your name, the person's name, and then put a space after it and put Facebook in there and watch what happens. You'll see everything about you that you've ever done on Facebook.
Do you miss spamming anymore?
I'm not.
I mean, does it get into your blood?
You know, I'm not a spammer. I never have been a spammer.
Well, your confessions of a spam king.
Well,
it's got to be you.
Because MSNBC labeled me that. So, you know. Spamming is hacking. I'm not a hacker.
You're not a hacker.
No.
You're not
marketing.
Like Kevin Mitnick was. Good old Kevin.
No, not like Alan Ralsky, the guy that got thrown in prison for 40 years for penny stock scams.
Yeah.
I'm not a guy that I've never, ever in my life sold drugs online. For example, a guy named Chris Risler. He's in 30 years of life right now because he was selling Oxycontins via email. I love talking to people and telling them how to make money on the internet, and I love that. That's great, because I want people to make money any way they can. I mean, in this economy that we have right now,
it's tough for people.
Yeah, and if I can help someone put a few bucks in their pocket by telling them the truth and, you know, showing them, you know, how to get paid and how to get their product out there in numerous methods, that makes me happy.
Let's go to Sherry in Fargo, North Dakota on the wild card line. Hey, Sherry, go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
Good.
I have a question about stores online.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a workshop of theirs, and I'm supposed to go to another one, and they want to charge $3,600 for software for their Express Pro.
$3,600?
Yes.
That Holy sounds safe. A little high, doesn't it, Bill?
Yeah, they go even go higher than that. My dad, of all people, I told him not to do it. They make it sound so great. Yeah, invest $3,700 with us, and we're going to get you ranked number one in all the search engines, and you're going to make so much money and blah, blah, blah. It's just a sales pitch. It's, you know, they'll send you this letter in the actual your mailbox.
When your kids get older and they want to go on Facebook and Twitter and who knows what will be around then, what are you going to say to them?
What am I going to say to them?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? I guarantee there won't be those types of things by the time my kids are on the internet. I guarantee it. Absolutely. It is my crusade to make sure that people's privacy is protected. It's my crusade. I did it once. The reason I wrote the book in the first place was because when I spoke in front of Congress in 2003, for some reason the Democrats and the Republicans and the President of the United States at the time agreed with me. And I opened up a big can of worms, and I didn't realize I did it. I turned actual real spam con artists into legitimate businessmen. And that's, I feel like it's my civic duty to my country and to my kids and your kids and everybody else's kids and our families out there to finish what I started. Because I did not mean to start this. I did not mean to do it. All the reason I was there was to protect you and say, hey, spam is not emailing your friend. Spam is not saying you got a widget. Spam is hacking. Spam is doing things that are scammy, that scam you out all your money. There's people that market, and there's people that spam. And there's a big difference.
There's a huge difference. Bill, thank you so much. Fascinating talking with you. Confessions of a Spam King. Up next with our floating format, Daniel Estulin joins us as we talk about Shadow Masters and also the Bilderbergs. It's called The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. That's next on Coast to Coast AM.